that affect your life and pocketbook. Live in Lansing every morning with Tony Conley. Live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. Live in Lansing 24-7 with the 1320 WILS News Team. There's only one place for Lansing news coverage. More compelling talk radio. 1320 WILS. Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
You know, Scott, I have this theory about champions in sports. You know, all of them, if you can look back over time, basically every champion, whether it's on a national champion level or a conference champion level, always runs into one game a year where they probably shouldn't win that game. They pretty much deserve to lose that game, but they find a way to win that game, and it basically defines their season and turns things around. You know, if you're talking basketball, think back to Duke in 2001. They won the national championship that year. They take on Maryland at Maryland. They're down 11 points with 90 seconds left, and I don't know who remembers this, but Jay Williams scores 11 points in the last 90 seconds of that game. They come back, win it in overtime. Go on to win the national championship. Michigan State in 2000. They were down to Syracuse at halftime by 10 in the Sweet 16. Come back and win that game. Pretty much breeze to the national championship after that. If you look at football, Ohio State, when they won it, they had that last second Michael Jenkins touchdown catch against Purdue. Michigan, a comeback against Iowa. They were down 21-7 at the half back in 97. So I think if you look back at champions, everybody has one win per year. That sort of turns the tide and says, you know what, maybe this is going to turn this team around and define their season. And I watched that Michigan State-Wisconsin game on Tuesday, and, you know, I didn't think Michigan State played particularly bad, especially in the second half when they started going inside. And Wisconsin just seemed to be doing things that you were like, you know what, State's not playing bad, but they're not going to win this game. You know, the seven straight threes or whatever it was, and just the fact that they were keeping that 9-point lead for so long, and then something sparked in that second half that got Michigan State going. And yes, I know, the obvious thing is Draymond Green started going inside. But I'm saying from an attitude standpoint, something sparked in that second half that looked like a different Michigan State team to me than I've seen all year long. And I've been ragging on Michigan State this year. I think this, you know, Tom Izzo is a great coach. Tom Izzo, I think I would rather have Tom Izzo as my head coach than anybody in college basketball. That includes Coach K. And I'm dead serious about that. But I think sometimes Tom Izzo gets away with murder in this town. And I think this year has probably, from what I remember, has probably been Tom Izzo's worst coaching year, I would say, up to this point. But that win on Tuesday might be something that turns them around, Scott. And, you know, you were at the game. I only watched it on TV. But the atmosphere there, did you feel like it was a different type of atmosphere, especially in that second half at the Breslin Center?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
It didn't seem that changing to me. And it was weird in the post-game press conference, then in the locker room afterwards, hearing the guys talk about the kind of attitude of the team, and Draymond Green saying the locker room's great, the huddles are great, everybody's full of energy.
Well, they say that after every game, basically.
I know they say it, but I've never heard them say it as much. I don't know if they're being coached to say it. If they know that it's not really going, the season's not going the way it should be, I think everybody kind of understands that right now. But I don't know that I necessarily actually saw that in place. Yeah, they were saying that, but it didn't seem like they came out with an extra hustle or anything like that. The win was huge, and they had to have it, but I don't know yet. Just based on this season, I can't say how much one game will affect it, because who knows what will happen today when they play Northwestern.
Look, and that's the thing. I think if Michigan State were not playing Northwestern today, if they were not able to springboard from that win and then play Northwestern at home right afterwards, I'm not sure that Michigan State has the type of reaction after that game that can turn their season around. If they go straight to Illinois and Purdue after this game, then I'm not sure this win means much. But the fact that you get sort of a cupcake in Northwestern, and let's face it, that last Northwestern game, Michigan State is the reason Michigan State or Northwestern was in that game for at the end of it. Okay, Michigan State should have put them away a long time before that. But I think the fact that they win that game against Wisconsin, a team that has been a thorn in their side for God knows how many years, the fact that they win that game and they come back style of win. And then they play Northwestern. This is a chance for them to sort again on a roll. And I'm not talking their national championship ready. I still feel like Michigan State is not going to go to the Final Four this year. I feel like Michigan State, no matter what they do, I think they're probably going to lose in the first round, first week of the tournament. But I think that they can turn this around. And there's still a shot for them to come back and win a Big Ten championship. There's still a shot for them to get a high seed. Because the bottom line, in an RPI setting, okay, their losses to UConn, Duke, Texas, Syracuse, on paper, are not bad losses. Now, you and I know, and the listeners know, that those were not good losses. Other than Duke, they played awful in those games. But the RPI doesn't take that into consideration. And so I think Michigan State can get on a little roll here. They've got quality wins over Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Washington now. They can beat Northwestern today. Then they go to Illinois with a little momentum. I can see things snowballing here.
Well, the question that I have for you, Dave, would be, now, if they had lost that, or I don't know how, if it's a question, but do you realize if they lost that game, they would have to struggle to make the tournament. If you sit down and take the Michigan State name away from it, take Tom Izzo away from it, and actually look at what this season has been, do the thing where you always see it down the stretch, bubble teams where they take the name away and show the record and the stats.
It would have been an Arizona-type situation where Arizona is a team that, you know, they go 18-14, 17-13 to make the tournament just because they're Arizona. And I agree with you. I think Michigan State would have been in that case, but I think that's why this is such a big win. Because you look at this and this takes breathing, this gives them some breathing room. It makes it so at Illinois, at Purdue are not must-win games. If they want to win the Big Ten championship, you're darn right they're must-win games. But if their goal is to make the tournament, okay, then they're not must-win games. Now, here's the deal. Michigan State at the beginning of this year should have been thinking Big Ten championship. But it's almost like you look at the way the team has played and you almost say, you know what, should we really be looking at that at this point? And I think if they win today and then they win at Illinois, absolutely that's where they should be looking. And that's why I think this Wisconsin win, the comeback win, was such a big win for them. But if they lose at Illinois, at Purdue, the attention shifts, in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about this, but the attention shifts to just getting a 7 seed, 8 seed, 9 seed, and getting into the tournament and then seeing what happens.
Well, it is. I mean, we talked about it last week, how it's kind of the change. It's a whole new season now that the Big Ten has started. Obviously, last week when we were talking to Matt Charbonneau, that was before they went out and laid an egg against Penn State. So they would have been on a roll, brand new season, undefeated. I think if they come out and get a big win, I mean, I was willing to say that they had to win at Ohio State, then split home and away with Illinois and Purdue, and win one of the two of at Minnesota, at Wisconsin. They don't need all of those wins. They have to get a couple of those because really there's no big wins on the schedule.
No, and you know what? The advantage of playing the Big Ten is if they win one or two of those games, they'll probably get in the tournament even if they lose the rest of those important games. But and we talk about it every week. There's some stuff that Michigan State's got to improve on if they want to do anything this season. They're shooting 65% from the line. And in Big Ten play, 59% from the line. That's 255th in the nation. 255th in the nation in free throw shooting. They're plus two rebounding this year. Plus two. This is a team that's what? Usually plus 14, plus 15 rebounding. Plus two this year. And then the biggest problem that I think has been there all year long, averaging 15 turnovers a game. And that has to stop. Double-digit turnovers are going to lose you games when you're at Illinois, at Purdue, because you're going to lose your nerve. So Michigan State has to get stuff like that under control.
Well, that was good about the Wisconsin game because, and Tom Izzo said in his press conference afterwards, I think, what was it, 11-11 turnovers?
Yes.
Through an overtime game. And forcing Wisconsin into 11 turnovers is a lot for them. They average,
They protect the ball very well.
Two turnovers in a couple of games here in the Big Ten, which is ridiculous.
Yep.
And to stay that low, I'd be happy with that in regulation. Throw in the overtime against a team that presses in a low-scoring game like that means your shooting wasn't very good, but they at least were able to run their sets.
Yeah, I look at that Wisconsin game, and I really do wonder where it's going to take this team. When you look at Michigan State right now, okay, when it's all said and done this year, let's say they just make the tournament, Okay. Let's say that they lose in the round of 32 because they get an 8 seed or a 7 seed. Then they lose to a 1 or a 2 seed. On the scale of disappointing seasons in Michigan State under Tom Izzo, I mean, is this one? Is this number one?
Yeah, well, considering they started the season ranked preseason 1 or 2 in every poll, yes.
Yeah, and what is the deal? Why are they so awful? Because I totally agreed with that. But really, okay, look at the end of their season last year. They needed a desperation three by Corey Lucius to beat Maryland, okay? Then they get absolutely outplayed by Butler. Really, yes, they made the Final Four. But they didn't have that great of a tournament if you look at the quality of play that they had, okay? And so you take that into this season, and yes, the Final Four should mean that they should be a top-ranked team. But when you really analyze those games, and then you say, okay, so how are they going to be this year? I'm not sure it was fair that we should have ranked them that high. And I see you shaking your head over there. What do you disagree with?
Well, I can't discredit the run to the Final Four.
I'm not saying it was a bad run. What I'm saying is the quality that they played at, okay? Maryland was not that great of a team. Okay, let's face it. Other than Grievous Vasquez, Maryland was not that great of a team. Butler was a good team. But Butler kept it low scoring, and Butler out-rebounded Michigan State. And that's a big problem.
You also have to realize, in that Maryland game, you lost your MVP. And Kalen Lucas halfway through. That has to have an effect on the team as a whole, just their psyche.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I'm not saying that they didn't play. I guess what I'm saying is, did they play like a number two team overall? And my answer is no. In the NCAA tournament last year, they didn't play like a number two team overall. Did they have a terrible tournament? Obviously not. They made it to the Final Four. What I'm saying is they didn't look like a number two team. So coming into this year, was it really fair to rate them a number two team? And frankly, this whole year, the only time they've looked like a number two team was against Duke. Going to Cameron Indoor and playing the way they did, I thought for long stretches of that game that they had a shot to win that game. They played very well. That was the best I've seen anybody play against Duke out of conference in Cameron Indoor since St. John's beat them back when they had guys like Bootsy Thornton and LeVar Postel and things like that. Okay, so they played well in that game, but the consistency has not been there. And the way that they're losing these games just makes you want to rip your hair out. The fact that they don't go inside, the fact that they're out getting out-rebounded by everybody they play, that they're missing foul shots, it drives me nuts the way that they're playing. 393-3700 if you want to put in any impact or if you want to get your voice in on what's going on in Michigan State, if you want to get your voice in on what's going on with Brady Hoke. Coming up next, though, Jeremy Sampson, Weekend Sports Anchor, WILX, will be here to round up what happened Friday night high school basketball. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.
We're here at the Joneses, where we've secretly replaced the paper form.